What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn's update for Survivor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Survivor Stock Watch podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm joined this week by a Survivor expert. Peridium is with me here today. How you doing, Peridium?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Taryn?
I'm doing well. Is Survivor expert a good title for you? I feel like it's fair.
I guess. I don't know. I don't want to say I'm an expert. I've never even played before. I guess you don't have to play to be good. I know the first time I spoke to Rob a couple of years ago, he called me the Survivor historian. I don't know if I agreed with that, but I just say in my bio, I make videos because that's literally what I do. So I am a Survivor video maker. And I don't even know if I go by YouTuber, even though that's probably what it should be. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Survivor YouTuber. for better or worse.
Yes. Well, yes. Peridium makes YouTube videos on Survivor. It's about all the things in Survivor.
Yeah. I mean, like, we just had this episode and I put together a video talking about the auction. I'm putting together three videos right now about all of the auctions in all of English speaking Survivor around the world. And that's just it. Like, it's every little, like, my plan is that I want to leave no stone unturned, which is just hopefully an indefinite plan forever. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, there's no specific thing. It's strategy, wacky stuff, anything and everything.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be very fun to talk through the strategy of this particular episode here, as we are talking about episode 11. Of Survivor season 41. There's only a couple left. It's wild.
It's gone by so quickly. I feel like this post-merge has sort of come, I feel like the pre-merge was a little bit slower. Like, I really remembered the episodes deeply. And then the post-merge just feels like it's been a whirlwind of just chaos and excitement.
It's been great. I mean, I feel like the season really hit its low point at the fake merge. And then, like, from there, it's just been entirely uphill. I feel like it has not skipped a beat here.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think, for me, it's funny. I think my least favorite was probably episode 3, which is when Rob had me on the podcast. And I was like, I'm usually generally cup half full, more try to take the optimistic approach if I can. Don't take everything not everything's so dire, but then he had me on and I was like, I haven't watched a Survivor episode in a year and a half now. And, I'm sort of not feeling great about these three episodes. Like, the first two were okay, but episode 3, I was like, it's so much paper reading, people just going to the advantages. The players are all weaving through the advantages. And then after the to be continued on episode 6, it's just been a beeline, and I've enjoyed legitimately every episode has been fun. I've been waiting for the next one. I cannot get enough of it. I'm really sad that it's coming to a close. But I'm also glad because the last 5 weeks have been just like some of my favorite stretches of Survivor episodes back to back to back. So,
yeah, I mean, and I feel like, it's tough to not have a dud, especially once you get to the merge, there's usually some one episode that's like, it's not all the way there. And so it's only two more episodes for them to screw it up. So I thought a lot of people thought it would be this episode with the looming twist that this would be the downfall of the season. But I don't think that was the case.
No, I think in some ways, like, the players have managed to unintentionally outmaneuver some of the potential potholes that the producers are laying out for them. So, and this was another example of that, where it turned out that it created this, like, interesting little Monty Python situation where Deshaun ultimately doesn't go. But yeah, it could have been this, like, longstanding legacy of Deshaun was unfairly screwed over by this ridiculous out of left field twist. And it just isn't the case. So I'm here for it. I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, let's get into the episode. We'll run through what happened in the episode, talk about some of the decisions that were made. And then we will rate the players afterward out of 10 based on how well we think they are doing in the game. So let's get into it. We started the episode with Liana being upset with Danny and Deshaun about them flipping on Shan that night at that tribal. And they're trying to do damage control. It doesn't seem to, like, fully work, but then, you know, by the end of the episode, Liana doesn't really have anywhere else to turn. And so they're still kind of together at that point. Somebody who's not upset, though, is Xander, who is very pleased that he's finally playing Survivor. He's got an alliance. It's all going great.
All of a sudden, I'm in charge with a group of people that I actually trust and that I can work with. And we're saying Final Four? Oh, my God. This is too good to be true.
He's in charge.
Yes.
Something like that. It's funny, the wording there. He's like, I'm in charge with this group of others. And it's like, all right, I don't know if you're necessarily in charge, but maybe you've got some control there. He's certainly probably the best spot he's been in through 11 episodes now. So there's that. But yeah, it's interesting.
He says, and I did that to Shan. I mean, I was part of who did that to Shan last night. I thought this was particularly interesting, you know, because he was not even in the episode last week. So to start this episode with, like, look at what I did, was a little weird.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, the one person whose presence was noticeably absent last week was Xander. He didn't really, he was just a vote, a cog in the wheel of the system that got Shan out, but he really, really did not have a voice whatsoever. And then we went into this one at the top of the episode, and we have Xander as the voice of the rebellion against Shan. That was an interesting choice to have him, I guess, try to usurp some of the credit, I guess. I mean, it was a group of four. I think it's very quickly acknowledged. He even acknowledges it. But yeah, he's like, I think he's just unbridled optimism for his position. He's incredibly happy that he's finally found something. And then he gives us, like, he says something in this confessionals about how it's almost too good to be true. And I was almost like, uh-oh, like, is that too good to be true? But it turned out, I guess it wasn't too good to be true. So
maybe not. You know, it's an interesting spot for him. You know, I feel like what I'm seeing with Xander is that he is slowly losing agency as a player that, like, the other players respect and fear and, like, would vote for in the end, as he becomes safer and safer. Like, he's trading one for the other. And maybe that's the bit that's too good to be true. And maybe that's the bit that he's not quite seeing yet, especially as he makes decisions later in the episode. But that's just sort of like the perception that I have, and it could be wrong.
Yeah, I've somewhat seen that too, where, I mean, also reading between, like, the subtext and seeing, I don't know if we incorporate some of the post-game stuff, but from what the players, the jurors have been saying, it's like Xander sort of has this strange story where he's getting credit for stuff, but other times I feel like he's noticeably not getting credit for anything. And I'm like, where's the truth in between this? And then at the same time, is he losing agency? What is his threat level at this point in the game, going into the final seven, going into the final six? And, you know, what is that going to mean for, like, he does say later in the episode that his motivation to keep Ricard, who is clearly apparently the biggest threat at this point, is because Ricard is the first in line. And if he loses that shield, they're going to go for him next. And I'm like, oh, would they? I guess they would. I don't know. Like, he doesn't seem, I mean, he's got the idol and I guess he had the extra vote. He doesn't have it now. So like, is he this looming threat that they will have to take care of after Ricard? I don't know if that's necessarily the case or not. Maybe it is. I don't know.
I mean, for me, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more as we get to it, but like for me, if I'm Xander in that spot at six with an idol, I almost want people to be coming for me.
I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Because you need that. You need that opposition, that combative, mm-hmm. like you can talk about that, how you had this onslaught of 5v1 or something and you busted out the idol or you did something, right? But if they're just ignoring you and you're like, guys, I've got this like superpower and they're like, so what? Like, what are you going to, okay, it's like it turned into a pool noodle. They don't care about that. I guess it's not nearly as threatening. They just sort of took the power out of it by not caring about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So Deshaun is also going to be a bit upset here. He's upset that Chan called him a snake at Tribal. And he is going to question Ricard about it and really make a big deal of how like Ricard apparently got away with betraying Chan, but Deshaun can't. And the next morning he says, I messed up. I regret that. And he says he was trying to put a target on Ricard's back, but that it backfired. And that makes sense to me. Like playing up like, oh my God, the jury hates me. Why me? Why do they love you so much, Ricard? Everyone sees that they love Ricard, right? Like I kind of like that as a concept. But apparently it went so amazingly wrong that Deshaun was aware of how wrong it went and completely regretted it in the morning. It just makes me wonder like what exactly happened.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I was looking at it. I was like, this is not necessarily the worst thing going into the end of the game to be viewed as a player who maybe can't get at least one juror's vote, if not potentially more. Like Chan has proven to be possibly the most influential player in the game, and now she's on the jury. What does that mean for the jury itself, the rest of the jurors? Are they in agreement with her thoughts on Ricard or on Deshaun and even Ricard? And like, if you have this obvious like public shaming of your actions, you could turn that into a positive by basically motivating the others to keep you around with that and say, look, I'm not getting that person's vote. I'm probably not getting a lot of people's votes. I'm a snake. You should use that because you guys know me well enough. Like keep me around. I have no power, but I'm an easy beat, right? Like I'm not going to get her vote. Who else's vote am I not going to get? Look at Ricard. But then all of a sudden, somehow flipped and the next morning he's like got his tail between his legs and he's like, wow, I really screwed that one up somehow. I think it was something in the delivery of the emotions. He gets into the shelter and he's sort of whining a little bit and moaning. And I don't know. I also wondered like Liana goes directly to Danny and Deshaun and doesn't go to the others. And I wonder if they looked at that as like a number for Danny and Deshaun and they realized like, while Deshaun, it still has, if one of us join them, we're clearly at the bottom potentially of this trio. And that's not going to be a good spot going into the final five, final four. Maybe that's part of it.
I have to imagine that it's some of it, right? Because for both Danny Deshaun and Liana as a separate entity from them, like it behooves both sides to play up a, like there's a huge rift here. If I was saying while I was watching, like if I'm Liana, I don't even know if I'm talking to Deshaun and Danny afterward. I'm gonna go straight to. I'm gonna be like I can't even look. I hate their faces. And make it very clear that you have zero attachment to them. And especially because Liana is somebody that I don't think seems incredibly threatening in terms of a final jury vote at this time. I mean, she probably has Chan in her corner, but so does Ricard, and probably more so at this point. Who knows? And I don't know that she gets a ton of other votes. So if you have the option of Liana as one of your four, that kind of incentivizes you when it comes to this later choice of Liana or Ricard. If you feel like Liana's with you and she hasn't even spoken to Danny and Deshaun, that you probably feel a little better about that. Not to mention the fact that if you're the other side of the coin there, if you're Danny and Deshaun and you have zero connection to Liana now, you should be a more appetizing choice for Erica and Heather, kind of the swing votes here, for them to come to you, because look at who are you're going to choose between Danny and Deshaun, us, who just got blindsided, just lost that vote. Like things have not been going well. We've been losing allies left and right. You're going to side with Ricard and Xander, the two golden childs of the game right now. that doesn't seem very appropriate. And so the reason that you might not is because they're attached to Liana, but if they're not so visibly attached to Liana, maybe that choice is a little easier to make. So I do feel like they really should have, if they didn't try, made a very big attempt to separate themselves.
Yeah. Also, like Ricard and Xander are by probably the two most likely to win these competitions. It certainly showed up to this point that they are usually number one or number two. Xander's usually second or first. Ricard's won like three, I think, including the reward challenge. So like they're very capable, and the players, everyone knows they're very capable. So yeah, like you're saying, are you going to pick between these two of them? I would say like you'd want to keep Liana around for the people in the middle, like Heather and Erica. So I'm like, yeah, what ended up going wrong there that Liana became like the primary target if Deshaun wasn't available to be voted out, or Danny, I guess, before the challenge. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting little things leading up to the eventual twist that we're going to see. So,
yes. Well, let's talk about the twist. Let's first talk about, we don't have to get too into it, but amazing segment here. You know, there are a couple of them, but Danny talking about his father dying 25 years ago. I mean, you know, having being an avid American Ninja Warrior, you know, viewer, I'm very used to like the sob story package from American Ninja Warrior, and Survivor sometimes does it too, and not always in a bad way, but it, you know, there are often like beats that it hits, and like, you know, you can tell the producers are asking certain questions to get the certain story out. This genuinely felt like a guy on an island who really just had time to think through his emotional trauma and genuinely just came on his own to a realization, had a breakthrough, and was able to like very eloquently describe what he was going through. It was so touching to me, talking about how he was angry at his dad for not surviving when he was a kid. And he's been dealing with that, like that anger, but also the guilt that comes with that anger ever since. And then he feels like maybe he's finally in a place to be able to let all of that go. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I thought it was, one of the best, like just as far as little edited package moments goes between that, seeing the Ricard moment from a couple episodes ago. I think one thing that was really great about, it was natural. It felt natural. It didn't feel shoehorned in because he's like, this is the day of the 25th anniversary. They can't like do that on the first episode. It was just, that was Danny's state of existence in that day in Fiji in the game of Survivor, lamenting the 25th anniversary of this tragic moment. And yeah, like that's just how it is. And he's just going through the motions and having to deal with that. And while also playing a game where he goes on to win the challenge, and he attributes that win to that, to possibly some of that emotional, what he was carrying that day. It's beautiful. It's you can't script it. It's not scripted. This is like some of the best parts of Survivor is it wasn't like they designed this day for this moment or whatever. It was simply, it happened on this day 25 years ago. Here's Danny, and here's a challenge that he ends up also using a nice little strategy to go on to win, by the way. Like it all just comes together perfectly, and it's not scripted, which is partially what I love about Survivor and Big Brother, is that like you don't write it. Yeah. So
it's great stuff. That leads us into the immunity challenge where Jeff is going to describe, hey guys, I got a new twist for you. It's the do or die twist. And so how this works is, if you play in the immunity challenge and you are the first one out, then you are going to have to, compete or partake in a game of chance. Yes, thank you. And if you lose the game of chance, then you've died. You're out of the game entirely. If you win, then you've done, and you get to survive because it's do or die. And so, So that's the, I guess, the penalty for being the first one out of this challenge. But you are able to decide if you want to compete in the challenge in the first place. You can sit out of the challenge and not have to face that, potential, you know, game of chance by being the first one out. So, he says, okay, so the real question is,
ask yourself, what would you do?
What would you do?
I know Sandra Diaz time to be sitting out of that so fast. Just, oh, you have the option to sit out and it's actually not a bad idea. Oh, I'm out of this. I'm so, yeah, okay, I'm done, Jeff. Where's the bench? Yeah, this is an interesting little opt. I like that they could opt out if they had to. And, you know, he was giving him enough information to make like a somewhat informed decision about what's at stake. You don't have to win every immunity challenge unless, I guess, you're like Mike Holloway or Ben or something. We didn't have any of those this episode. So, you know, it created like an interesting dilemma with the seven players. I was surprised more of them didn't sit out.
I was as well. So this is probably kind of a hot take for me. I teased this in a tweet that I just put out for the start of this podcast.
Did you like it?
I kind of like this twist. I definitely don't hate it. And that's because I actually do feel like it's kind of cleverly designed in a specific way where it really does encourage the people who don't need it, the people who are in the majority, the people who are in power, to sit out of this challenge, and it encourages the people who do need it to play. And I think the key to all of it is first the choice, being able to choose whether or not you play. And then second, the fact that you are immune if you survive the game of chance. I also like that the game of chance is a Monty Hall problem, which we'll talk about later, which actually means that you have a 66% chance of surviving it rather than a 33% chance, which I think it's also like a cool thing, especially it's like, oh, you get an advantage if you know this, you know, this problem, this math thing. I think the way that it works, and you, cause you see this in Big Brother all the time. You sometimes see it in Survivor. They always try to introduce things that will like shake the game up and give an advantage to the minority players. And it almost always backfires, but I do think that this works. The incentives are in place for it to work, well. And now I think that the biggest part about this is, you know, if the episode had ended on Deshaun drawing a skull or whatever, like, that would have been lame. People wouldn't have liked that. And I definitely understand that. But in terms of what it does for game dynamics, it actually does help the people who are on the bottom. And it's not super unfair to the people who are in power. So I like that element of it. And I'm sure we'll get more into it as we continue to talk about it.
Yeah, I thought about it this too a lot. I think my gut reaction, like most choice, is to be like, how badly is this going to affect like the game and the episode and whatever. I don't know what you call it, but like watching Big Brother for so long, when all of a sudden they have some wacky announcer with the twist come up, I'm immediately like recoil and horror, like, oh no, like how bad is the damage. And so that my initial reaction was like, I don't like what we're gonna get. I think for me, as I got through thinking about it after the episode, I warmed up on it a little bit. Like I was pretty cold at the end of the episode. And then as the night went on and into today, I'm like, okay, I agree. I think there's a little bit more to it that isn't super egregious. It's not that big of a deal. Certainly not as overreaction as I had initially. But I do kind of wish on some level that I don't know if this is going to work, but I would like it to like not eliminate a player from the game. I don't mind the whole dynamic, the Monty Hall problem, opting in and out of it, Jeff explaining what it is before they get to decide. And in the situation itself, sitting out in and out of a challenge, like that could help or hurt people depending on their position in the game. It can expose things. I don't think that's necessarily any of that's bad. I just don't like players getting eliminated by like chance. I like the vote. And so I'm like, if you take away the vote, that's my biggest caveat with any twist. Don't get rid of the voting, which is why I've never really been a big fan of the fire making, the final four fire making. I would hate to see this twist come up all the time or become a staple or, you know, see it next season. I just don't want it to eliminate the vote, which is what it would have done. I was like, maybe there's a way they could tweak it so that it does some other negative. There's some other ramification. Just let them still vote. That's all. I don't know what it would be. That's where I landed at the moment. So
yeah, I think that's very fair. I think for me, I've always been somebody that's a lot more open to the randomness of these games personally. I was somebody that always liked the final three HOH and Big Brother. That's part three where it's more random and less skill oriented. And that's for me at least because like there's so much chance, there's so much luck that goes into the game. Even with a vote, right? Even with all of the pieces in place, there's so much luck that kind of goes. It's almost like people can take the luck as long as it's it's chased down with something else. It's hidden, you're taking your medicine with a big flavor of something else, so you don't taste it. And when they present you with, no, this is straight up luck, we're literally gonna flip a coin or draw straws or something, you're like, no. Even though there's so much luck in everything else, it's like, nah, that is, you can't show, I don't want to know it's luck. I don't want to see the food get made here. So I think there's an element of that I am like, if it's luck, I'm fine with it. However, I do agree that there are outcomes here that are particularly bad, right? Somebody in the chat mentioned like, oh, is this being results oriented though? Because if Deshaun had been eliminated via skull, that would have been so upsetting, which I do think is fair. Like I said, I would personally, even though Deshaun might personally not prefer to be voted out, I would prefer to see Deshaun voted out rather than being, sculled out. However, considering the fact that Deshaun was the person that would have been voted out in that spot, it wouldn't have bothered me that much personally.
I was talking to my wife before we went through the scenarios, and I was like, I actually think Deshaun doing this was the best case for him because I think he probably is the one who gets voted out of Ileana if, assuming him not having knowing this do or die thing changes the post before the lead up to the tribal, maybe that changes his strategy. Maybe something changes knowing he doesn't have this do or die challenge ahead of him. But either way, I'm like, this likely led to Deshaun surviving, even though it was supposed to be like this, oh my gosh, poor Deshaun. It's like, the first thing we see when they get back to the beach is Deshaun rejoicing with Danny being like, I mean, I probably have a decent chance of getting immunity much better than I would have just straight up not having the votes, getting voted out 4-3 or whatever, or 5-3, knowing Xander has his extra vote. So, which is what would have ended up probably happening. So that's an interesting like way of flipping it on its head where you initially would be annoyed at this because it could have cost Deshaun, but it actually probably saved him more than anything. So
yeah, and this is what I mean when there's luck involved, right? Like somebody like Danny could have easily gone home or been voted out in this episode as well, right? And that's with or without this twist. Maybe Deshaun wins immunity, now Danny's the de facto target, Danny goes home, or Danny's voted out and Deshaun goes on to win the game because in the next round they had already taken one of them out and now it's time to shift it up. And if Deshaun hadn't won that one immunity, anybody else had won, then Danny would have been in the Deshaun position and Danny would have won the whole game, right? Like that's a lot of luck that it's not even necessarily within his control. So for me, what this twist actually does is it kind of actually shifts the luck into the favor of the people on the bottom. Because what it does, if you're Deshaun, and this is why I absolutely think that Deshaun made the right call in playing for immunity here. If you're Deshaun in a normal an elimination cycle, you have essentially a 1 in 7 chance of winning immunity. Maybe a little bit higher, but Deshaun hasn't won any, but, maybe a little bit higher. And then if he doesn't win immunity, he has no idol. If he knows they're all planning to vote him out and there's nothing that's going to change that, it's all happening the same day, then that's it. He's out. 1 in 7. Maybe he gets to use the shot in the dark. That's a 1 in 6. So he's got a 1 in 7 and a 1 in 6. But with this twist, the do or die twist, right out of the gate, it encourages people to sit out of the immunity challenge. Even more so than actually did, but right away, two people sat out of the immunity challenge. Now it's a 1 in 5 chance at immunity. And it should have been even better. And if he wins immunity, which he has a better chance at now, he's fully safe. That's great. If he doesn't win, but he doesn't go out first, then no harm, no foul. Nothing would have changed if he had lost anyway, except he now has somebody else went out first, right? And there might not even be a vote because that person might end up leaving. So all he has to do is not be first and hope that person loses. You know, I think you can assume it's a 50-50 chance. Now we know it's a 66-33 chance. But now if that person loses, he's safe and that's great for him. Or he's out first and he has the 66% chance to stay, if he plays the Monty Hall problem correctly. And so he gets all of these additional opportunities to be safe, with this twist, being somebody that knows they're on the bottom. And it also helps even somebody like Danny, because it provides, more options for multiple people on the bottom to be safe, which is exactly what happened, right? That's kind of why I like this, even though it does kind of put like a foul taste in your mouth with the possibility of what it could be, right? Like if Ricard had dropped out first and then he lost the thing, like that would have been really painful. And you could maybe say like, why did he play? And I would have been like, he should not have played in that immunity. And I still don't think he should have, but it still would have sucked. Right. And that's kind of the danger of this.
Yeah. I guess what we're not accounting for is what would have happened if Heather played, you know, if they all, he's a 1-5, what if Heather plays and beats them all? You never know what's going to, you know, maybe all of a sudden, I don't know, Danny's no longer immune. He gets voted out. Deshaun's in trouble. I think that's a good argument to be made. There's a lot going on with this one single twist that you can't be said for some other twists this season. And I think on the outset, it definitely looks worse than it is in practice. I do kind of wish there was some other way to tweak it to somehow. I love the vote. I think that's sort of like the representation of like a social game ish. It's becoming a little bit trickier, as Erica says, at Tribal to just simply vote and vote somebody out with the regular vote because of all these different things happening. Is Dijon safe? Is he not safe? Is the extra vote in play? Is there an idol in play? Is a shot in dark in play? So maybe that is an idea that needs to, like, having just regular vote every episode, straightforward, 4-3, final seven. You know, Jeff seems to be beyond that 41 seasons in, and he's willing to create an interesting Monty Hall situation at the end of the episode for all of us to sit around and explain to the people who don't know it, which I literally just spent like the last hour explaining it to my wife. She did not understand it. And I was living for the last 24 hours in this house thinking it didn't need to be talked about because obviously she understood it. And then I was sitting right behind me on this daybed and she's like, yeah, I didn't understand. It's like 50-50. I'm like, you're kidding me. Like, oh my God. Like, okay, no, we have to break this down. Yes. I figured this out like 15 years ago. And so we went through it and she understands it now. She says she feels like she leveled up as a human after understanding the probability. So
there you yes. go. It is one of those things that like you learn it and you're like, this is great, but never going to be useful in my life at all.
No.
You go on Survivor and it's like, well, maybe I should have known it. Or in Deshaun's case, better that he didn't, I guess. We'll talk more about the Monty Hall problem. I'll try to do a light explanation. I was going to go more in depth, but I think that Christian on the Know-It-Alls did such a good job of explaining it. So that's probably the much better way to consume this knowledge. But we will do our best here as well.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom? Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I do want to talk through the decisions that were made to play or sit out of this immunity challenge. So I already explained why I think for Deshaun it was the right move to play. It increases his odds in a number of ways. I think Danny, as the backup target, also was correct in playing here. Liana is where it gets a little bit trickier. Liana as a potential like third target. Do you play and take the risk of being out first? I don't know, right? Like that's especially because she doesn't have a lot of confidence in her ability to not be out first. It could put her more directly in line, in some danger. Granted, it's still a 66% chance of safety. She doesn't know that at the time though. I was assuming something like 50-50. And I think you can probably assume it will be around that. I think that personally, so like the reason to not play is to avoid that potential, spot of being the first one out. And that's pretty much it. The reason to play would be to avoid, I think your worst case scenario is that, nobody plays except for the two targets, Danny and Deshaun, which guarantees that one of them is immune and one of them is playing for the chance thing, which means if they win the chance thing, you're out. And if you do, so what you want to do is if you do play, then you just need to not be the first one and hope that you don't get the very specific scenario of, you know, Danny and Deshaun trading first and last place. As long as that doesn't happen, you should be fine this round. And the best way to prevent that from happening is by playing, in my opinion.
I was going to say shades of Big Brother 19's Tree of Temptation, the Temptation mm-hmm. Challenge with Cody and Jess.
Yeah.
They played it. One has to win. One comes in last. And all of a sudden they're both sitting pretty.
Yeah.
Similar stuff.
It's interesting. But ultimately I can't falter too much for not playing. I think that it's kind of a case by case, basis here when you're in Liana's spot, especially depends on like how you feel about your chances to win or, your chances of being the first one out. I think if I were in her spot, I would have played personally, but again, like, I don't think that, I would falter too much. Then we get to Xander, Erica, and Ricard. Because Heather also sat out. Great move by Heather. Heather has no business playing in this immunity challenge. She's in no danger. She has no reason to play this and put herself in the line of fire. But I also think that's true of Erica. I think Erica, even more so than Xander and Ricard, never was going to be a target here. I mean, even from the last vote, I was saying Erica and Heather are going to be the swing votes. They are the most safe in this position. I just don't see an upside for Erica playing in this. She doesn't need the immunity and she's just opening herself up to be the first one out and potentially leaving in a spot where she never should have left.
I wonder if looking at the challenge, some players felt more confident. I know like you look at somebody like Malcolm who had to do this challenge back in Survivor Philippines. He said he walked right in and instantly knew he was going to be losing that immunity at the final four. And that is what cost him reaching the final three and losing the season at that point. So I do wonder if some of these players have maybe more confidence in their ability to do that. I have talked about this too in a video last year about a small strategy you can use. And I just wonder if there was a level of confidence some of these players had walking in that influenced their decision that they're like, worst case scenario, I guess I get put into this game a chance, but it's better. I don't know. Like it's, they just, I agree with you. I guess what I'll say is I agree with you. I don't think that if you're in a position of power, you don't need to risk it at the final seven when there are enough targets on the board where they can't all be safe. I presume they can all be safe knowing where the idols are and everything. So yeah, it's interesting when Heather makes the best move, I guess, of the four of them. Because like worst case scenario is they all sit out and then you're left with, say, Danny and Deshaun, which means we get the same scenario anyway, but you don't risk the potential of you being in the Deshaun scenario where you now have a 33% chance of getting voted out or not getting voted out, just getting removed from the game. Whereas you had is probably a pretty good 0% chance if everyone's probably playing their best game, which I think they were with the ultimate outcome of the vote. Yeah, I agree. I mean, increasing your odds of getting voted out by 33% is a rough increase given you're in the power position. Is it worth the risk just to be at a 0% because you win immunity? I don't know. Maybe you're really good. Maybe you practiced this challenge a lot before you got into the season. I don't know.
I mean, the thing for me about this challenge too is that, like, I don't care how good you are at it. The smallest little like error, even just like as you're picking it up.
I mean, you see Deshaun 3 seconds in.
Like you get a weird grip on it when you pick it up. It drops. Jeff is counting down. You rush the pickup after that. You have a bad grip again, and it's over just like that. That could be the end of your entire game. A game that you were on track to potentially win. Like I am not taking that chance if I don't feel like I'm definitely the target this round. And I was very surprised to see all three of them go for it here. I mean, especially like, imagine you're Xan, you've held on to this idol and this extra vote for so long, and then you go out because of a twist like this, this is like the potential pitfalls of this twist even existing, is that nobody, I think, wants to see that. But that's why the players shouldn't be risking it. I think the incentives are there, right?
So season 41 has been very heavy on like game theory and the game more than I think almost any season before it. I'm a fan of it. I like that aspect. That's almost like the theme in some way of the season with all these different twists we've seen pop up. This is just another example of it leading into the Monty Hall problem. So yeah, it's sort of questioning the game players and like, are they aware of, do you want to, I thought it was 50-50, which is even worse. Like that makes me even less incentivized to want to compete if I was in the Dominant Alliance or even like somewhere in the middle. If I immediately thought this is a 50-50, probably like coin flip. We've seen the coin flip before. So I don't want to increase my odds of getting taken out of the game by 50% just like that. For what? Like, because a marble rolled off piece of wood? There's too much on the line. Unless, of course, you're in Deshaun or Danny's case where you're likely the next one voted out anyway. You might as well throw a Hail Mary, but I don't know.
I just feel like I think you just have to eat the cost here, which is we'll just let Danny and Deshaun take first and last. One of them will be immune. Maybe we'll get lucky and the person who's not immune will be out anyway, and it won't make a difference at all. If not, worst case scenario, backup option, it's Liana. I think that's the play there.
This is the difference between results-based analysis and like judging the players before the results show up. You know, like it worked out in the end, but maybe not. They didn't do it the right way, or they didn't do it the optimal way, and that's the difference between. Anyway,
there's a lot. There's a lot of that in this episode.
Oh my gosh, a ton.
Yeah. So Deshaun goes out immediately. And I do not think he did this on purpose. He looked very upset in the moment. And I think it's only until later that he realizes, oh, wait a minute, this is actually kind of a good thing. And then Danny ends up winning, which is huge for the both of them, right? Like this is the only scenario where they both survive. They would not have both survived if not for this twist. Danny with the underhand grip here, I think definitely the right call on this challenge.
I would agree. That's what Amanda Kimmel did when she won. She beat Serene and Parvati in Micronesia. I did just go back and look. They've done this challenge two other times. They did it in Philippines. Everyone did it overhand. I guess everyone was on the same page. And then they did it also in Ghost Island. Also, everyone did it overhand. Underhand worked. He did it the first two rounds over, then the last round under. If the last round's, I think, an endurance comp, that's probably the better way to do it. It's what worked the first time. So yeah, good for Danny. I was really happy between the setup with the first scene leading into the challenge and then him winning. It was probably the best episode for Danny of the entire season. So
definitely, yeah. Great stuff. And it's a huge win for, like, he has an emotional sort of response to it, you know, after everything that he's been thinking about already that day. And also huge because given the outcome of the do or die twist, I do think that Danny would have been out had he not won this. Definitely a big win here. after the immunity challenge, Deshaun says, hey, at least you can't vote me out. It's one way or the other. I'm not getting voted out tonight. And he realizes things have kind of worked out here. And they ultimately decide that they want to try and pitch for Ricard to go. That's going to be their plan. They're going to try and flip people to go after Ricard. Now, what interested me about this decision is that, first of all, as we already talked about, they don't seem to be concerned about Xander still. Xander with an idol, with an extra vote. It's still Ricard that's the bigger threat. It's Ricard that they feel like they can really pile on top of here. And so it made me wonder, is this because Xander is irrelevant as a threat at this point? Or is it because they feel like they have a better chance of pulling Xander to their side? Or is it that just that, like, because he has an idol, let's just not even bother. Let's not even risk. What if he plays it? Whatever. It's safer to put it on somebody like Ricard, who we know doesn't have an idol.
I think it might be a good combination of all of those, because we do see them talk to Xander right after. They don't really talk to Ricard. Maybe because of the previous round, and everyone seems to be recognizing, including the people in the middle, Ricard is the threat to go. So maybe he's the easiest player to gather the mighty middle to join their side, because it's harder to pitch for Xander, especially with the idol. He might play it. Who knows where their votes go after that. So maybe the best pitch, we'd go for the obvious threat who doesn't have protection. He's not immune. He's a challenge threat. He's a social threat. We all know it. We all see it. This is that moment before we let him get. We've seen seasons in the past. You look at, say, like a Rick Devens type, where you give him momentum and the next thing you know, he's in the Final Four fire making, knocking on that jury door, ready to bust it down like the Kool-Aid man. Maybe it's the same with Ricard. You know, you give him enough runway and all of a sudden he wins immunity or two, and you just don't have the votes. You never know. So yeah, I'm surprised they didn't go for Xander whatsoever. He doesn't seem to ever be talked about as like a serious target, despite having all the, it's kind of reminded me of Dean a little bit from Island of the Idols two seasons ago. Like, he's got all these trinkets, and then Tommy's like, yeah, but who cares? Like, yeah. So what did you do? Nobody cares, dude. Anyway, I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. I do think that there's a decent argument. Obviously the argument to take out Ricard is that, hey, he's a big threat. He's going to win this game if you let him. But I think there's a more immediate threat in Xander having that idol and that extra vote. Hey, this is our opportunity to take out Xander and that idol. If you leave him in the game, it is going to be the final six. He's going to have two more rounds to play that thing. And who knows who it's going to bounce off onto, right? Like, who knows who's going to die for that idol, right? Nobody knows. That's a dangerous thing to have, especially when he knows that there's no more time to play it afterward. Plus, you know, that all but guarantees that Xander's at least making fire. If you leave him in this round, you want to be making fire against Xander at four. Take out Xander now. And then let's see where we go from there. Maybe we take out Ricard later. I don't know, but I do think there's a good pitch there.
I also wonder if on some level, like, Xander wants to keep Ricard around to eventually take Ricard out as his own move. And I do wonder why they don't want to flush the idol, because they could have. He clearly isn't playing it, but he also seems to know he's not being targeted, or there was no suspense as to whether he was getting the votes, whether he could play the idol, whether he should play the idol. Clearly he shouldn't have. Yeah, you're opening up a slot for him now. He's got the best short-term safety. He's definitely in the finale, unless of course something crazy happens with his idol. I doubt it. He's in the finale. He's in the final five because he's going to play his idol at the final six at the worst, or worse than that, because idols are good at final five. He might win the immunity next episode because he's very capable. He was second place this round. He's won it before. Now he's in the final four. Again, barring any crazy hijinks, he's in the final four. And at that point, you can't even vote him out. Numbers don't really matter that much. So I have to think that my theory is they don't view him as much of a jury threat as other players. I think there's a hierarchy. I don't think Xander's in like the top three is my guess.
Well, we do see that Erica is also going to consider taking the shot at Ricard. Now, I don't know if this was prompted by a pitch from either Danny or Deshaun, or if she was thinking about this separately, that maybe she wanted to make this move. I assume that she knew that she could make the move because she knew that the others, Danny and Deshaun, were on board with it. This is the big sort of misdirection of the episode that will Erica flip. I noticed on the rewatch that she never actually says she wants to do this. She only ever says, like, I'm considering it. It's a hard decision to have to make. And she never actually makes like a hard pitch to be like, Xander, we got to do this. She just talks about options. I like that she's struggling with this choice because I do think it's an interesting choice. I think there's a lot of reason to consider, making this move for her, right? If she takes out Ricard, then, she takes out somebody who is looking like he can beat anybody at the end. I mean, with Shan saying, you've got my vote for $1 million, Shan being very influential, just the overall respect level, I think he gets a lot of like hand-me-down respect from Shan, by being the one to take her out and knowing that he was sort of her number two. I think that Ricard is in the position right now that he wins if you don't take him out. I think most people understand that in the game. And so if you're Erica and you also could take some credit for that Shan move, especially if you then turn around and take out Ricard. Now you can be like, I took out Shan and Ricard. I'm the player now. I think that gives you a lot of credit. And it still puts her in a position where she is probably not the number one target. You still have to contend with Xander. And because Liana is so upset with Danny and Deshaun, I think the only reason she's working with them is because she feels she has to. You might actually be able to get Liana, who you just saved, to come with you against, you know, the rest of them, and or just, you know, Danny and Deshaun, whatever it is, right? So I feel like there's a very viable path forward with that choice. Obviously, she did not choose to take it. I don't know exactly why. Maybe it was because Xander was so against it. But I really, you know, and I see the dangers there as well. I think it is a more dangerous road, but if I'm in Erica's spot, I feel like I probably would have taken it. Unless like Xander was just like, I'll never trust you again if you do this. I don't know exactly what it would be, but I feel like it's the play for Erica.
You feel like taking out Ricard is the play?
Ricard, yeah.
Right now. Do you mean right this at the final seven or?
Yeah, at the final seven. I mean, I think that now that she hasn't, I do think it, she still has time. I don't think it's do or die for Erica. I think there is still time to take out Ricard, as hoping that he doesn't win, you know, in the next two immunities or something.
Right.
But I feel like you have the chance now. I feel like it cements your place as a huge jury threat. And maybe that's a bad thing, but you still have Heather on your side. You still probably have Liana. Maybe you don't. But I do kind of feel like, this might be the play.
Yeah, it's kind of like Risk. You take out the guy with the biggest army, you accumulate all their army after they took out the previous biggest army. And all of a sudden you have like half of the territory on the map. So it's like, okay, Ricard seems to be getting more of the credit for taking out Shan, who was up to that point the leader of the game. All of a sudden now like you said, the fear is that if you leave Ricard in, there's just not a lot of time left to take out somebody at the end game of Survivor like there has in the past. This is an international Survivor where you have a final two or a final three, no fire making. Final four, you don't get to, of course, then you also have Xander who's got the idol. And I think for Erica, I think the biggest, for me, what I'm trying to read between is why Erica didn't ultimately flip and take out Ricard. I think having that connection with Xander, they're clearly discussing it. Now, Xander is telling us clearly why he doesn't want to get rid of Ricard right now. Whether his reasons are good enough or not, seeing him and Erica sift through and decide what they're going to do, I think that almost there's like a close connection she has. She has obviously the connection with Heather. I don't think that's worth a ton on the strategy level, but knowing that she has Xander in her working with her, either she's in his pocket, vice versa. He has the idol that can be used as a weapon at the final six. I think the numbers are comfortably against Ricard, where I fear for Ricard's safety in the short term, that if he doesn't win immunity, I was like, who's most likely to go next episode? And I'm like finding most roads lead to Ricard at the moment, even though we saw this episode be completely against Danny and Deshaun. I think that of the three players on the bottom between Danny, Deshaun, and Liana, it wasn't so much who left as it was that there were less numbers at the bottom to overthrow the players in the middle when they decide to finally make that move on the biggest target, which is going to be Ricard. I think we're likely going to see a potential a flip again where the majority four that we just saw emerge this episode are going to cave on each other. And I think they're going to go for, I think they're going to make a play on Ricard. Whether or not Ricard can do anything about it, I feel like he can't. And I feel like it's going to quit. We haven't seen it yet, but I think we're going to see that because of the connection that the reasons why Erica and Xander both decided to keep Ricard this week. Of course, the question is, we've seen this before again and again. It might be too little too late. They might be running out of runway. So I don't know.
Yeah. And that's why I think you see her struggling a lot, right? I think this is a really tough choice either way. And I think there are definitely, benefits.
I walked out of the episode saying, I think this is a win-win for Erica. I don't necessarily dislike the move a ton. There is that risk of you're giving him enough room, Ricard. But I think socially, I think everyone is acknowledged in the game that Ricard is the biggest threat to win. And so I think between that, working with Xander, who's got some trinkets, he's got a trinket in his pocket, the best trinket you could probably have at this point in the idol. Who knows? Maybe they have to play it to guarantee that the votes don't go against them and they can force the vote on Ricard. Maybe this is all fan fiction. I don't know. But I think from what we saw, I felt good enough from the decision that Erica made and also by proxy Xander that this was an okay decision for her. I think she's probably in the best spot of the six people going into the final six. So, but we'll talk about that later.
I mean, that's how I felt last week. I do think that this was, ultimately a kind of a rough outcome for her in terms of, Danny and Deshaun both being immune, right? Like having to take out Liana here was definitely not optimal because Liana is probably one of the easier people to beat in the end. Maybe that has fallen onto Deshaun now. We can talk about that. But Liana as a person who is a little bit more of a solo agent that you maybe could have pulled in that would maybe be a little bit easier to beat in the end. Having to take her out here is not optimal by any means. However, there are still plenty of roads forward for them as long as they are still open to working with Danny and Deshaun. I don't know why they didn't work with Danny and Deshaun immediately anyway. Again, it might have been because they felt like they were too connected to Liana. And maybe that is the play. I mean, I thought the play was to do that this week. Maybe the play is to do it next week for them. And they'll team up with Danny and Deshaun and they'll take that shot at Ricard and Xander. Again, you have to worry about one of them winning immunity. And then you have the trouble of like if Ricard wins immunity, and it's Xander. Xander's got that idol, and now you're in trouble again. So, there are definitely some dangers here, but they're in a position to do okay. But they're also not in a position to really, again, like take a lot of ownership over the move necessarily. And so that might be an issue as well. So, again, interesting play. From Xander's point of view, we're seeing from him that he doesn't want to take the shot at Ricard. Because he feels like the two of them are they are the two biggest targets in the game, and that if Ricard goes, then Xander's the biggest target. We already talked about this a little bit, but like I don't know that this is right for Xander either. I feel like he needs. I don't think it's a bad thing for him to be a big target, and I definitely think that Xander loses to Ricard. And maybe at this point you have to imagine that. Xander's just banking on like beating Ricard at Fire or something. But even then, like Ricard could win immunity at four. And then you're done.
Ricard is a triple threat. And I mean, at the moment, I agree. I think Xander, it probably would have been better for him to take out Ricard here, especially with the idol in his back pocket, and like who's their biggest threat to win those immunity challenges other than Ricard from what we've seen. I think Xander could win these immunities, but with Ricard there, he's very capable of coming in second, and maybe the target shifts to him.
Yeah, I kind of agree because again, like first of all, Ricard being a target in front of you doesn't mean anything if Ricard wins immunity in front of you, which is terrible. If Ricard's not there, you're more likely to win immunity. you're then also the big target, which means if you do make it to the end, you're much more likely to win. You only have to survive two votes before fire, one of which you have an idol for, which means you just have to win one immunity, play an idol, win fire. And at fire, you have two opportunities. You have fire and the immunity challenge. So you have two opportunities to survive there. And again, without Ricard there to have to contend with, you're much more likely to win those. I kind of feel like that is the play here for Xander, especially because even if he does manage to take out Ricard toward the end here, is it going to be enough at that point? Is it going to be his move? Whose move is it going to be to take out Ricard at five or at four? Who's going to be facing Ricard at fire, whatever it is? And is Xander just going to be the guy that was kind of sitting behind Ricard the whole time? And is he going to get enough credit for that? I think that these, again, ultimately, I don't think like I'd feel strongly enough to be like, what a mistake. But, cause I do think it's a close call, but I do think it's another one of these situations where I feel like I would have probably leaned in the other direction here.
I can agree with that. I think time will tell, and maybe it'll be more results based in the end of the day, whether this was a mistake, a missed opportunity. I appreciated the discussion that Erica and Xander had, though, debating it. Erica spent a while. She had several times talking to us, the audience, going over what she was thinking and why. And, you know, she's like, I have to own whatever I choose to do, but this is those crossroads that can make or break your game. It all comes down to like a single vote. And interestingly, like we can talk about it when we get to it, but like Xander uses the extra vote to protect Ricard essentially.
Oh, we'll talk about that.
So anyway, yeah, we'll get to it. I agree. I think slight shades. I'm okay with it between the two of them, but I'm like, if they don't vote Ricard out or make a move on Ricard next episode at the final six, assuming he's not immune, I'm going to be very concerned and questioning what's going on, what their plan is. Slightly disappointed. It's very satisfying to see players make moves that you think are optimal from our armchair analysis, but we'll see. Yeah.
I realized that I forgot a clip from the immunity challenge, which I really enjoyed. It was...
Hi, Dad.
Well, thanks for another good morning, Erin.
Good morning.
Wow. Heather, too.
He's so excited that people said good morning to him.
He just wants to be acknowledged a little bit. He just needs that validation. Yeah, I guess not enough of the crew say good morning to Jeff or something.
If I said good morning to Jeff and he went, wow, Taryn too, I would have been like, oh my God, what did I do?
he's excited. He's like, I get to bust out a new twist. And, he's just feeling happy that day. So.
Oh, you're going to have a great morning.
Yeah, right. Good morning. Oh, well, you just wait. I'm going to take that right back.
All right. Well, Xander ends up telling Ricard about the pitches. He warns Ricard that Erica might be wavering. And we hear that Liana is concerned and she may need to play her shot in the dark. We'll also talk about that. We get to Tribal another incredible segment here. Deshaun sort of opens it up with sort of expressing the difficulty that he had voting Shan out last round. He breaks down, and you know, I think this is especially like coming off of what we saw in Big Brother, where we saw the members of the cookout face this, right? Like they they stuck together ultimately through incredibly trying circumstances, and we're seeing another group of Black players attempting to do something similar, also facing those circumstances, and in this one it breaks down and it doesn't work out in the same way, and the weight of that is crushing Deshaun, and you can see that, and I think that's part of why, you know, you have him the morning after like I made a mistake last night with the way that I talked to Ricard. I think that like there is just too much weighing on him. He's not able to focus on strategy in the game because he's also worried about all of these other things, right? It's all that's weighing him down. Shan is staring daggers from the jury, but when he starts to break down, it does seem like she's kind of like, okay, I understand what he's going, even though I'm still mad. I understand. And then Liana starts talking about being black wherever she goes. Like, she can't escape this either. And this is, she's helping explain sort of like what he's going through with her own story. It's so well said. I'm really glad that like Liana had an opportunity to like really speak here before she left, because I feel like, you know, the edit hasn't exactly done her a ton of favors, with the,
look at his face. I hate his face. I don't.
Just amazing moment here. And I love that she also addresses, the sort of like, I just want to watch Survivor. Why do we have to deal with all of this stuff? Because that is Survivor. That's the thing. It is a microcosm of society. And if you are somebody who in society is like, oh, I don't want to have to deal with this, and I'm going to just go watch Survivor to get away from it, that the whole point of Survivor, the whole point of these games is that they represent in a microcosm, the society that the players come from, right? Like, they bring all of that with them. Just like Liana said, she's black wherever she goes. She can't escape it. Like, why? Like, you can't just be like, oh, I would just prefer for you to, I guess, not be black and have that weight on, or you could at least just be quiet about it. It's not great.
No, it's not. I loved it. I loved when she said that. She said, you know, I've addressed this too in my channel during the Island of the Idols review video, where it's like, look, I get that you guys don't always want, like, for example, for my subs don't always want me to sit around and talk about these things, but this is Survivor. Like, it's been Survivor for the whole time. Like, you guys may not have always recognized that, but that's what they talk about when they say, like, anyone who doesn't have to think about this has the privilege of not having to care about it. And that is what we are acknowledging and becoming cognizant of, is the air around us. Or if, you know, there's this one, speech I've always loved that I learned about a long time ago, which is from David Foster Wallace, and it's called "This Is Water." And it starts with this really quick analogy of fish recognizing the water around them. And the young fish don't understand that they're surrounded by water, and the older fish does. And that's kind of the same thing here. We're just becoming more aware of all these different experiences that come in to the game of Survivor, or Big Brother in the case of what we saw with BB23. And how it's affected these shows since they began, and how they probably really weren't acknowledged at all at the beginning, to some extent, or in different ways, different avenues of life, different parts of life. And then you come off the heels of 2020 and what that meant for the Black community. And they talk about that. Everything Leon had to say was totally pitch perfect. And I was like, there's really not a single thing controversial what she should be saying. What she's saying here, I know there's people out there that aren't going to get it, or they're going to have trouble understanding it. I just hope that they're willing to come at it with a more of a listening mindset than a talking mindset, because that's where it starts. Like, I was never fully privy to a lot of this stuff years and years and years ago, and you just sort of learn to listen more and talk less. I'm like, what she says talking about the audience, like, you may not always love it, but that's Survivor for you. You don't always love everything that people bring into your life or into the game, and you deal with it, and it's take the good out of it. Learn, listen. It's not that hard, but yeah, I loved it. I loved it. And what you said, like, Liana has had quite a tumultuous story arc from the beginning of this season. It's interesting. It ends with Xander double voting to get her out. After she says, like, I hate his face. It's been fun to listen to her postseason and explain the steps that got her to that point, because it makes sense. We just didn't see all of it in the edit, or it wasn't as fleshed out. But it was nice to, like, have this full circle. And, you know, it wasn't the best outcome for Liana. She didn't win. She didn't get to that final three. I thought she could have been for a long time, like, somebody who made it to the final three, but it didn't happen. But altogether, it was a good narrative. And she ended it with, like, one of my favorite moments of the season. It's a lot of good stuff from her. And also from Danny, who also touched on, who followed up by giving a little coda to her speech, ending it with his own thoughts. And he talked about that too. Like, it was his idea. I think we found out it was his and Deshaun's idea on Luvu to ultimately bring them together at the merge. And he explained a little bit of why and what that meant for them. And they were just trying to use it in a positive light to show how they're all individuals. And they're, you know, Liana said they're not a monolith. And they're all these individuals as a part of this alliance that's very diverse. It's very unique for Survivor. It just doesn't happen very often. It's happened more in later seasons. They've gotten better with their casting. But yeah, I thought it was good. It was great. It was a great part of the social part of Survivor that in an era where it's very game heavy and advantage heavy and like reading papers and then explaining what they read on the paper, like to have most of the episode be dedicated strictly to this clash of like morals and ethics and gameplay and the struggle to define like where do you draw the line, and to see players breaking down, like that's what compelled me with BB23. And that's why I ultimately walked away from the season enjoying it, even though a lot of it was quite predictable at times. You know, it happens sometimes, but the human, a part of it can't be replaced, shouldn't be replaced. And this is that. This is all that and more. So, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. And you know, we're about to talk about the Monty Hall problem, right? Which is classically a problem where, again, like at first glance, you take a look at this and you're like, oh, it's a 1 in 3 chance. But then at the end, maybe it's like a 50-50 chance. Like when somebody tells you, no, if you switch, you have a 66% chance of being, of getting the prize, essentially, your brain explodes. You're like, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't make sense. That's wrong. But with the Monty Hall problem, you probably are willing to go, okay, maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe my brain's immediate reaction to this is not correct. Maybe I have something to learn here. And you're willing to probably listen to Christian or maybe me here explain to you why it actually makes sense. Just give that same grace to the people that are explaining their experience on the show and in life, right? Like you might immediately not understand because you don't, you know, you haven't lived those experiences. It might make no sense to you. You might have this immediate reaction. No, don't like it. It doesn't make sense. I don't know. But if you're willing to give some grace to the Monty Hall problem, I feel like you can probably give some grace to some people who are, you know, describing their experience throughout life. Right. So, let's do that. And let's talk about the Monty Hall problem.
Nuance is key. You need nuance. You're going to miss the forest for the trees, whether it's in probability or something more important than that. So yes, I agree.
Yes. So we get to the do or die twist. And first of all, my immediate thought was they should have voted first. I think they should have voted before he picked. Then if he picked wrong and the vote was canceled, there'd be an urn full of votes that somebody would have been voted out if not for that thing that happened, right? Like I feel like that would have been more dramatic. Plus, it would have added to like it was pretty obvious to me at the time of like when this happened that he would pick correctly because there was too much time left in the episode that there still had to be a vote in order to fill the rest of the episode. But if they had voted first, then I feel like that spoileriness wouldn't have mattered as much. Not that they care, I think, a whole lot, but I just think they should have voted first, personally.
Okay,
so. Deshaun is presented with three boxes. Two of the boxes have skulls or whatever. One of them has fire. And so Deshaun has to choose one of the boxes. He has a 1 in 3 chance of getting it right. Jeff then removes one of the wrong boxes. Here's a skull. And he says, would you like to switch? Now, I will say again, if you want like a great version of this that will probably be much better than my explanation, check out the Know-It-Alls. Last night, Christian Hubicki did a great job on a whiteboard. It was very fun. But basically, the way that I like to explain it is similar to how Christian did, which is that basically, once you pick one box, you're separating all three boxes into two categories: the one you chose and the other two. 33% chance that the one you chose is correct. 66% chance that the one you chose is not correct. The correct one is in one of those other two boxes. Essentially, what Jeff is offering Deshaun is, would you like to stick with your one box or would you like these two boxes? And he gets both of the two boxes because Jeff is going to take away the wrong one. So like if you present this in a different order of events and Jeff had just been like, okay, you now have one box. Would you like two? And then I'll take away all the wrong ones after you pick. Then you would obviously be like, yes, definitely. But when he does it in the other order, it doesn't make as much sense to you, right? But it's the same thing. Another way that people like to explain it is like exaggerate the number of boxes. If there were 100 boxes,
yeah,
and
that's what I do.
One box, and then Jeff takes away 98 of the other incorrect boxes, do you think it's more likely that your one out of 100 box is correct, or the one that Jeff left behind out of the other 99 is correct? It's that, but on a smaller scale, right? That's my two quick explanations. Again, you can listen to Christian on the Know-It-Alls if you need something more in depth.
If my wife is watching, she just heard you repeat exactly what I was saying. I said, like, think of it like this. You get a 1% box, or you can open up the other 99% and you have the option of picking. What would you take? You got your 1%, or you're left with the box that is 99% likely to contain the answer. It's not exactly 50-50. You have to acknowledge the fact that it started with 100 boxes. Now just minimize that to 3. One box is 33. Other chance, you flip, 66. Same thing as 1 to 99. So you should flip. Obviously not always, there's chance. But like 1% makes it very obvious and easy for people to understand. Like if I was given 100 boxes, I would feel like there's no shot that I'm going to get it right. But then, whereas the 33%, you're like, oh yeah, it's just 33. Oh, it's just 50-50. The numbers are pretty much the same thing. It's not that noticeable. But at 1%, I'm like, that's what got my wife to figure it out. So she's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. And the key is that like Jeff knows where the prize is. So he's always only going to remove bad.
Yeah. He's not going to reveal the answer and then completely make it Deshaun has no hope. And we're just watching this guy. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Ultimately though, Deshaun chooses not to switch. So this is, I think, what really makes it difficult for this to be the example of explaining the Monty Hall problem is that, he did the wrong thing and it had the right outcome, right? Like it had the good outcome. But that's just, you know, that's just probability, right? Like 33% is still not terrible, in terms of like outcomes. Plenty of times you can pick correctly and have screwed yourself over. And I think there's also that element of it as well, where it's like, once you've picked, it's like, that was a fair, 1 in 3 chance, that was a fair pick. Once you switch away from that, you're going to feel so much worse about it. If you don't understand the Monty Hall problem, that like you had the right one and then you changed. Why did you do that? I think there's that element of it as well that kind of prevents you from fully like comprehending.
Also, like, yeah, you kind of have this attachment to the one that you picked. Something led you to that one first, and now you're going to abandon that for what? Like, if you don't know about the Monty Hall thing, it's certainly not going to feel like it's a worthwhile pick to switch. Something led you to that first one. It was his gut. He says it was his gut that made him pick that box. And so he's just going to stick with it. There's not much skill involved, but that's the difference with the Monty Hall problem is that it adds an element of like, if you understand the probabilities, flipping is always the better option. If you're given between two choices, 66 or 33, you're going to double your odds if you're given the chance. So like if this was Christian, he'd probably be, he'd be sitting in seventh. He already did get voted out in seventh place. But nonetheless, he would be there. He wouldn't be in the game if this was his season. So.
And that's the thing, everyone that's like, I know about the Monty Hall, we all would have lost that one.
Right. I'm like the better, the people who knew about this going in would be like, oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, that's why I was kind of like watching Deshaun potentially get voted out or not voted out, eliminated, but he made the lesser smart move, I guess, knowledgeable move, but it paid off. I'm like, that's why I'm like, the chance of it all kind of throws me for a loop. I'm like, I kind of wish they could just vote, but I get it. It's Jeff's taking games theory 101 and he's trying to imply it to Survivor. And here you go. So
there you go. So the vote comes through and it's 5-3. Liana is voted out over Ricard. And I was very confused. I was like, because I watched it live on Twitch, the entire stream, I was talking about how it was the final 7 and next round is the final 6. And there was a moment there where I was like, oh my God,
the final 8?
Long all time. And we've been at the final 8 this whole time. I feel like an idiot. But no, it's because out of seemingly nowhere, Xander played his extra vote to get 5 votes onto Liana. And I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I just don't see almost any scenario where this is worth it. Because in my eyes, I think the key assumption you have to make here, in order for this to like really not make sense, is if Erica is going to flip against Xander and Ricard and go with Liana, Deshaun, and Danny and vote out Liana, or vote out Ricard, then, you know, if she did that alone, then it would be a 4-3 vote and Xander's extra vote would tie it up. And maybe depending on how the extra vote works, he'd maybe be able to pull something off from that point forward. But the key assumption here that I'm making that I'm pretty sure is really fair is that I think there's almost zero chance that Erica makes this play without Heather. That if she's going to flip, Heather's going with her. It makes no sense for her to flip without Heather. She doesn't need to distinguish herself from Heather in the jury's eyes and make a move without Heather being aware of it or anything like that. The last thing she wants to do is piss Heather off or make Heather not trust her for any reason. You know, the amount of benefit she gets of voting Ricard out are completely negated, you know, tenfold if she loses Heather, because she needs Heather in this game. It just doesn't make any sense that she would do that. And with that in mind, if Erica flips with Heather, that would be 5-2. Xander can play his extra vote all he wants. It wouldn't make a difference. It would be a 5-3 vote in the other direction. And he still loses the vote in a vote that he's not even in danger for. So for me, there's no scenario where this matters, no likely scenario, no reasonable scenario where this matters at all. And I think there are plenty of reasonable scenarios at the final six where it could matter. You know, if Xander wants to team up with Danny and Deshaun or Erica and Heather, either one of those pairs, he has options. He can choose a pair, use his extra vote and win the day. Easy. 4-3 vote with his extra vote. If he works with a pair, he doesn't need any more than just 2 players to work with him to win a vote at the final six. It also makes it basically impossible for players to split votes on him at the final six if they wanted to flush his idol. If they're splitting votes on him and one other person, then him and that person can vote plus the extra vote, and just like that, you can't split votes on Xander. So it's very valuable for him to have here going into the final six. There's almost no reason to use it. Even if you do think that for some reason Erica flips on her own, who cares? It's not that big of a deal. We just explained why we think it might actually be beneficial for him for Ricard to be gone. But that's really not even a reasonable scenario in the first place. So I just really didn't like this.
Yeah, I thought about this too. I said it wasn't, somebody asked me what I think about this move. Was it effective? I'm like, no, definitely not effective. I mean, it ended up all the same. He got the person he was trying to get out. They got out. I've noted that in the history of the extra vote in Survivor, there's only one time in all of its uses that it's ever actually made a difference. Starting all the way back in season 30, when we first saw it pop up with Dan Foley, all the way up to this episode with Xander playing his extra vote, it never matters. It always is misused or whatever. And this is just another example of that. The only time it's ever been used to actually make a difference in the vote was with Shan voting out Nasir, using the extra vote to do all that, all those shenanigans. And even then it's arguable that like it didn't also really matter. I didn't love it either, but I'm like, it did technically change the vote outcome, without using it. You know, it would have had the vote distribution, but then again, of course, maybe they wouldn't have voted this certain way if they hadn't had the extra vote played. So whatever. The extra vote is showing itself to not be, it's turning out to be like less. It's a good thing to have. I thought going into the final six, as you outlined, this is a final six that is very fractured. Having that extra vote gives you like your own duo in a final six that has Danny and Deshaun, Erica and Heather, and then you and Ricard as like apparently the top 2 threats, according to Xander, if that's what he believes. Having that extra vote allows you to save yourself, have technically an invisible partner that you get to control their vote in any capacity. This is the last time it can be used as the final six, so it has to be played. It will get played. If assuming he's got Erica, assuming they know Ricard is the biggest threat, if he doesn't play it here and Ricard goes, like you said, not the worst outcome in the world. I think it's okay. I think he's probably overvaluing Ricard's benefit to his game, which could prove to be a major problem for his win equity at the final six, final five, potentially at the final tribal if Ricard's still around. Yeah, I think that this was a great fail-safe. The extra vote is always used best defensively. This was piled on more offensively to make sure Liana goes, to prevent Erica from flipping. But like you said, and again, I agree with this, the odds of Erica and Heather splitting their vote or going against each other did not seem high. I'm surprised to see Xander work with Erica throughout the episode and then ultimately like question. I'm like, they seem to be more on the same page than a lot of the other players in the middle. And so if you really don't trust her that much, I don't know. I'm like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're not going to get voted out. Like they, you know, they're voting for Ricard. I guess it's just like he valued keeping Ricard in way more than like keeping Liana as somebody he just doesn't feel like he can work with whatsoever. And he's worried, I guess, that if the final six occurs and Liana's in the game and Ricard is gone, maybe he's worried that the numbers are just not there. And it's just simply back to where he started, where he's at the bottom. He has no power, no control, I guess. So he's trying to guarantee that doesn't happen. Yeah, usually the extra vote just shows up as a dog pile. Same thing here tonight. Didn't love it. I think it usually doesn't make much of a difference, so it's not the end of the world, but it could have been used better and just like missed potential.
Yeah, not to mention also the social ramifications of using this idol or using the extra vote. By using the extra vote, he has basically told Erica, I don't trust you.
Yeah, a little bit.
You came to me about the option of flipping on Ricard, and then I used my extra vote to make sure that if you tried it, it wouldn't work. Is Xander going to be the person Erica goes to flip on Ricard next round? If I'm Erica, I don't know. I don't think so. I'm starting to feel like this guy's never flipping on Ricard. Maybe I really do need to work with Deshaun and Danny, right? So I don't like it for that reason as well. I feel like there are lots of reasons. More thing I didn't like. The final piece here, Liana does not play her shot in the dark. And this is the last opportunity I see, I think, for anybody to use the shot in the dark. And this, to me, was probably one of the most clear-cut scenarios where it just flat-out should have been used. Now, in her exit interviews, she explains that she didn't want to play the shot in the dark because she was banking on both Erica and Heather flipping to her. That she was hoping that they would flip to her side and that she didn't want to be put in a position where her vote was the one vote that they needed, just like what happened to Sydney, which I kind of disagreed with at the time with Sydney in the first place. But it doesn't work out that way, right? If both Heather and Erica flip, again, it's a 5-2 vote. And if Liana takes her vote away, it's a 4-2 vote. And if Liana takes her vote away and Xander uses his extra vote, it's still a 4-3 vote and she's still safe. There's no scenario where her vote matters if they have Erica and Heather. And if they don't have Erica and Heather, then she needs to play the shot in the dark, right? And so I really just feel like this was such a no-brainer. You have to play it. You get that 1-6 chance. It's not great, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah. I wonder how the producers are feeling about the shot in the dark. I think it's probably passive enough that they'll keep it. I know it's probably going to be over 42. I do wonder if like it not being used at all, except for that one time with Sydney. It's tough to, I understand the dilemma in a game where you don't always know what's going to happen. She did say she talked to Erica before tribal and Erica said, yes, I was going with you. And she sort of understood like voting out Ricard seemed to be the smartest move. We see Deshaun say anyone with a brain is going to vote out Ricard tonight. It's like, I can see like there's a good argument for why they should do that. So I could see why maybe she's thinking, but then it's like, yeah, like you outlined, like, you know, might as well take a shot anyway. Like if they're going to vote, what are the odds that Erica's going to vote away from Heather? Likely they already have two votes. They're both going to vote the same direction, presumably. I guess I would assume so. They've been voting in lockstep the whole way since they could vote. So what's the change now? You think they're going to vote for you, put two votes on you, put two votes on Ricard. At that point, you might as well play it anyway. Just for that, you know, your vote. I get like at the final seven, you're in a three-person, you locked votes. You need that fourth. But it's just not that simple in this case. And with the do or die twist and whatever, maybe it doesn't matter at that point. But yeah, I agree. Again, we've been in lockstep this whole thing with our analysis of the missed potential and the not even results-based thinking. It's just like some of these players did win out, but for the wrong reasons. Liana, unfortunately, is the opposite. She didn't win out. She ends up getting taken out here. And she could have prevented it. Again, probability-wise, not high. She probably still goes out anyway. She's just with one less vote on Ricard's name. But yeah, that's the shot in the dark. People are just too hesitant to give up their vote for a 1-in-6 chance at safety.
Yeah, and I've definitely gotten the sense in the exit interviews that the Sydney thing really was like a huge fear element that her going out, I should have voted, or like, shouldn't have done my shot in the dark. I mean, again, I don't like, there was a very specific scenario where her placing a specific vote on a specific person would have tied the vote with on the revote. Maybe she would have survived. But like, there's no way she would know to put the votes on that person. Like, all kinds of reasons for why, like, I do think she made the right call in playing the shot in the dark in the first place, Sydney.
Yeah.
But I can, I guess, understand that, like, you know, again, these people are out on an island and they're getting probably very little sleep and they're, not getting a lot of food. And they don't have a lot of time to themselves to think through the scenarios all the way through. I know that, like, in the middle of a stream, when I'm talking through these scenarios, I'm finding myself being like, hold on, I need to stop and think for like at least a couple minutes, which I can't do when I'm on a stream because I have to be talking. And when you're on an island, you have to be socializing all the time. Like, you probably don't have a lot of that time to really stop and think. And when you do, your brain's not working as well as it should. And so I think that fear of like, what if there's a scenario I'm not thinking of where my vote matters and I play the shot in the dark and I'm missing my vote? That's probably what happened here. Doesn't change the fact that I think it was the wrong call, but I think you can maybe understand why it happened.
Yeah. Also, like, the game is faster. There's the extra pressure of like just losing Shan, who was like your ride or die, you're the person you wanted to take to the end. You're now really questioning everything. There's the added pressure of the social, of what they talked about at the tribal council. She said her plan was to blow up Ricard's spot at tribal before they voted. She really wanted to, and she just didn't even think to do it. She just didn't remember it. Just like Deshaun had said, his plan was to blow up Ricard's spot after that Shan blindside, and he just didn't do it. He was thinking about doing it, and he didn't blow it up. I mean, he ended up plotting against him, but he said he went into that night wanting to blow up Ricard, and then Liana did this, said the same thing, didn't do it. I understand there's like, you know, sometimes it just slips by you, you run out of time, or I don't know. So unfortunate for Liana, but that's the way the cookie crumbled with all the left turns. And I actually really liked, there was a quote from Erica. She had said, it made me laugh. I always like the little like really quippy moments. And she just basically was like, I don't know what the odds are for the do or die, but if Deshaun doesn't die, and she turns, she's like, I don't want you to die. Like, I don't need to like die. And someone plays, I like that. It's very like honest and candid in tribal council, where they're usually very like coy and political and very like closed off. And then she's like, if someone plays the shot in the dark, someone else gets knocked out, there's no certainty for what's going to happen tonight. And then Jeff says, and how's that feel? And she just says, oh, it sucks. It sucks. And she has this big grin on her face. It just made me laugh. I love every play there. She's like, oh, it sucks. Oh yeah, all these shenanigans, like the shot in the dark, the do or die, the extra votes, the idol. Oh, it's awful. I can't do it. But it made me laugh. So
I that moment did stick out to me too, because like when she turns to say, I don't want you to die. Like I immediately was like, oh, but she. You definitely want him to lose, right? Like that's like, she just kind of like, and I'm sure he already knew, and I'm sure it wasn't a big deal, but like by saying, I don't want you to die kind of out of nowhere, she definitely gave the game away that she really hopes he loses.
Just like Ricard said in his confessional, he's just like, yeah, he just, you know, it'd be nice if he did just, you know, happen to like die in this case. You don't want him to actually
die. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting wording.
All right. I will just like final thoughts on the shot in the dark. My opinion hasn't changed, even though it was never used or it was only used once. It was never really used successfully. I still really like the addition of it. First of all, it's another thing to like think about and analyze after the fact. Should Liana have played it? Should whoever played it? It's another like a factor into the vote. Can I afford to play it? Can I not afford to play it? I also think that it encourages, again, blindsides. You can't let somebody know that you're voting them out, because then they will play the shot in the dark, and then you might have that 1-in-6 chance of being completely screwed. And so even though it might not have contributed to any moments specifically on its own, I think that it does contribute on the whole to the strategy and to the uncertainty of events and all of that in a way that it maybe isn't super visible. But I do think that it's a good twist, and I like its presence, and I hope it sticks around.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with it either. Ever since it was introduced, I was like, you know what? This is not overpowered in any way. It's not like some other twists we've seen brought out that are almost game breaking. This is very after the fact and sort of like literally in the dark. I think it requires a lot of analysis of, you have to be very aware of your situation and what's coming, and you have to weigh the pros and the cons deeply about your vote and what that means for you and your allies. And what does it say if you do play your shot in the dark or if you don't? You only get one, I think, which is nice. Yeah, I think, and it doesn't go past final seven, which is great. I think like it doesn't really screw around with the end game and whatever. So I think it's fine. I've never had an issue with it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. Well, let's get to the Stockwatch here. Let's talk about these players. Let's pull this up, and we will talk through, the players. I've already given away my lowest rated player. So we're going to start this. We run through the players. We give them a rating from 1 to 10. Based on how well we think they're doing in the game. Obviously, a lot of this is up for interpretation when it comes to the edit. One being the worst, 10 being the best. And I like to start down at the lowest. And of course, this week for me, that is Heather. I was pretty generous to Heather last week because she was a part of the Shan blindside, and I felt like she should be rewarded for that. And it also felt like, you know, theoretically, the possibilities were endless. You know, again, like I don't think there's any chance she wins this game at this point based on the edit alone. But this week for me, she takes a big hit, not only because, she hasn't, again, she's again, like, not taken an opportunity to make a move and like do something. But there's one scene in particular in the episode that gave me confidence to just like really go, okay, it's time. There's no more benefit of the doubt here. And that's when in tribal, she's talking and the jury rolls they all roll their eyes at her. She is not winning this game. It's not happening. I gave her a 2.
I had a 2 as well. And I did actually take into account, that's why I asked you before we went live, I took into account the 3 metrics you used just to see if I could find an average number, which averaged to a 2 for me between their performance in the episode, short-term safety, long-term prospect to win. Ultimately, that she had like 3 things this episode, and they're like morsels, sitting out at the do or die, which was not a bad call. It's fine. You're safe. She briefly was in a instance where she just said, I'll go with Ricard and I think Xander, to vote out, Deshaun or Leon or whatever. And then, the tribal moment. And that to me was the worst by far, because that's the people that are voting for the winner. And if she's giving an answer that is a really bad answer, I can only imagine what she might say at the final tribal and the reaction she's going to get when she has the floor and the microphone and all eyes are on her. The attention's on her. Didn't love it. I think for me, the biggest problem is I just don't think she's going to win this season no matter what she does. So even if she's sitting out or not at the challenge, it just doesn't look like it's adding up to a win in any way. It's a 2. I gave her a 2 as well.
Yeah. All right. Well, after Heather, I did have, of course, the person voted out this week, Liana. This was an interesting one for me, because there were a few things to factor in. First is that, I don't fault her for her decision to play or not play in the immunity. I do fault her for not playing the shot in the dark, but it was still just a shot in the dark. It's still a 1 in 6 chance. It's not like a major, major fault, although it was a big reason why I knocked her down a little bit. But then there's also the fact that, you know, ultimately, you know, a lot of people, they saw the twist. They saw the immediate outcome of the twist with Deshaun being the first one out of the challenge. Oh, Deshaun got screwed by this twist. Deshaun got saved by this twist. Liana got screwed by this twist. There was almost no scenario where Liana was voted out this round, if not for this twist. And for that reason, I gave her a lot of credit here on her boot episode. Ultimately, I went with a 4, mostly docking her for the not using that shot in the dark.
Yeah, I was sort of up in the air. I mean, obviously she's already gone, so thinking about like her win equity didn't matter too much. Yeah. Thinking about what it means for her next episode didn't matter too much. I think I was sort of sitting between a 3 and a 4 as well. I did ultimately give her a 3, but it's kind of redundant, or it doesn't matter as much to me because she's going or she's gone. But yeah, you know, I felt like there's probably more she could have done or more avenues she could have traversed. Yeah. I think instantly seeing her, you know, going after Deshaun and Danny and then linking up with them, like, I think that the social implications of this, how it strategically appeared to the other four at the beginning of the episode, started immediately limiting her, just what she could do and the room that she was giving herself. She should have, like you said, instantly just sort of shunned them and I'm with them. I'm with the 5. And maybe that wouldn't have mattered by the end of the episode because they were both, Danny and Deshaun ended up being immune. Don't fault her for that. I mean, there's not much she could have done. She could have played in the shot, played in the do or die. Probably wouldn't win. I believe her when she says she wasn't confident the moment she saw the challenge wasn't going to be hers. Probably wasn't. So I guess maybe the best is she throws the challenge instantly faster than Deshaun, 2 seconds. Speed run to lose the competition or the challenge and put yourself in a 66% chance. There's just a lot of like wonky stuff here and not enough time, airtime for her to decipher like what she should get for me. So because she got voted out and I felt like maybe there's more, I give her a 3, but either or.
Yeah. And I think it's a fair point to say like there's probably more she could have done to separate herself from Danny and Deshaun after the last tribal. For me, it's just like, for all we know, she did try, right? Like,
right. She did go to Erica. She probably, that also meant Heather. I don't know. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, this was another, a tricky one for me. But next up I have Xander. And the reason this is a tricky one is because, first of all, he's still in the game at Final 6 with an idol. That's great. Love that. I think his chance of getting to the end are pretty good. His chance of winning though, I'm feeling not super great about. I just feel like he hasn't done enough on his own. Like the only real move he has, his only real claim to fame right now is playing Liana, with the advantage steal. And if I am reading Evie and Tiffany right, they're on the jury saying, that was not Xander's move. That was our move. We planned it out. He's just the one that executed, right? So I don't know that alone is going to be enough. So right now I feel like he's heading toward probably being in Final Tribal or at least being able to have a good shot at that. But I don't know if he can win it, right? I think he certainly can, but I don't know that he can. And then on top of that, I just, I really don't like this extra vote play. I just feel like it was such a whiff here. And so for me, he's getting penalized a lot for that. And I'm going to give him a 5.
Yeah. So I gave him a 6, which I guess this is like Xander, finally like having a somewhat foothold in a power position in the season 41 of Survivor, for the first time since probably he stepped foot on the beach. And yeah, I didn't love the extra vote thing. I thought the same thing as you, like, this could have easily been a big move between the idol and the extra vote at the final six, at the final five, to pave way for a resume that celebrates him either winning the fire making or winning immunity or whatever, going into the final tribal. Like, that could be a series of like Chris Underwood bullet points that celebrates you launching yourself into that final three. He don't have that now with the extra vote. Okay. I'm like, you should use these advantages, as especially at the end game when there's less unpredictability and there's, you know what you're working with, and there's only so many things you can really do. Use them to like craft your own story, your own end game, your own, pave the way to your win. But that's not going to happen with this extra vote being gone. I did like that he managed to, you know, he's in the majority and he's able to get out the person he wants out. Liana didn't seem to have, that was probably the person he has the worst chance of working with in the future. Arguably maybe somebody he could have possibly beat in the final three. So there's that drawback of losing her. I'm looking at like, who could he beat? Who's sitting next to him besides Heather that he could beat in the final three?
Yeah, I feel like he was locked to beat Liana just because he so visibly outplayed her in that moment.
Yeah. And so with her gone, that does put into question, like, what is his win equity look like? What are his long-term prospects to win? I don't see it. But at the same time, I think his short-term safety is quite high. I think he's in a decent position. He still has his idol. I think looking at it, like looking at the board, I see him potentially working with some of the people in the middle. I don't think he's dead by any means. In fact, like you said, I think he's a decent chance he can get to that final tribal, but he needs to be in a position to win. And I don't think he's doing enough right now, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to like dock him points for sure. He's still in the game. He's not in the worst position possible. And there's still plenty of time. It's final six. You can make it work. Chris Underwood made it work. He can make it work. Although that was with the Edge of Extinction. So either way, I give him a six, but yeah.
Very fair. All right. Next up, I have Deshaun, who is really fallen from grace here. He was very, very consistently up near the top all season long, basically until very recently. And it's just, this is such a big hit for him in this episode. Obviously, last episode was not a great place, but there was still the potential that he could pick up the pieces, right? Shan being gone was a good thing. The position it left him in was not great, but at least Shan's now gone. He has a much better chance of like fully winning now at the end without Shan there. But he really dropped the ball here. And the biggest problem I have in rating Deshaun this week is that I don't really know why. We got that sort of like him complaining after tribal and then he regrets it in the morning. That's about as much explanation as we got for why Erica and Heather decided they wanted to stick with Xander and Ricard over Deshaun and Danny. Again, we can maybe say that maybe their attachment to Liana, maybe it was just his behavior that night. I don't know exactly how, but he somehow really dropped the ball here. And not only left himself very vulnerable as a target with plenty of other big targets around, but also seems to not be in the greatest place for the jury vote anymore, with people starting to describe him as whiny and things like that. So I don't like that either. Now, I do not fault him at all. In fact, I think he made the right call playing in the immunity challenge. However, even though he chose right in the Monty Hall problem, he should have switched. He chose suboptimally there. So I have to fault him for that as well. And so this was a really tough one for me. I was hovering between a 5 and a 6 for Deshaun. It's hard for me to go too harsh on him because I don't know why it failed, but I think, no, but you know what? I do think he's in a pretty decent spot to move forward. So I'm going to go with a 6 for Deshaun. Mostly because I think he has the room to recover that I'm not sure Xander does. I think that he has more room for recovery than Xander does, even though, and I think that Xander's mistakes ultimately were worse this episode, even though he wasn't in such a dire position. So I'm going to go with a 6 here for Deshaun.
Okay. Yeah, I was more debating between a 4 and a 5 because of, I also was going to ask you, like, what led to him to being in such a bad spot? And all of a sudden he was the focus of getting voted out. I was like, I didn't fully realize that voting out Shan was going to absolutely tank his game this quickly to the point where he probably gets voted out if it wasn't for the twist. But either way, you know, between misplaying, like, I guess technically doing the right thing the wrong way with the Monty Hall problem, and then being at the bottom, he mismanaged his how he managed to walk into tribal after the Shan vote, going in there and somehow burying himself even more. The rest of the tribe were solidified in their foursome. They had this 4 out of the 7 majority, and now they're like, I think we just flipped the game. And meanwhile, Liana is yelling at Deshaun, and then Deshaun comes back and like gets all quippy with the rest of them. And then he wakes up the next morning, like, I've made a huge mistake. Like, oh my God, what have I done? And it was largely because of his own reaction to everything. And I get that, like, there was a lot playing on that decision to take out Shan that led him to probably reacting the way he did. But it also didn't help him in any way. He was hoping to, his plan was to bury Ricard after that and to put the target on Ricard. And it hasn't worked yet. He kind of failed to do that. He failed to convince the people in the middle to flip his way. And he even says it should be a no-brainer. It should be some, if you have a brain, you got a brain between your ears, it should be the thing you do. Vote out Ricard. He's exposed, and he couldn't get them to flip. And I'm like, why couldn't he get them to flip? What didn't connect there? Clearly other players are playing around him at the moment, instead of with him. And he ultimately would have been voted out if it wasn't for an unprecedented, unpredictable twist that nobody could account for going into the episode. So yeah, I ultimately settled on a 5 because I think his short-term safety is going to go up losing Liana. I don't think he wanted this to happen, but I do think that in the short term, it's going to possibly make it, like, this was like a weird flare-up for his chances of getting taken out. Now that he's gotten through these rough waters, I think it's going to actually get a little easier potentially. It should if the other players are really looking at the board, it should get easier for him. I do think potentially losing a jury vote in Shan or whatever, or having that tainted reputation, could actually prove out to be a benefit to his game. But yeah, I ended up with a 5, pretty neutral. Some pretty bad flaws here going into this episode, but I think he ended up in a better spot by accident. But oh well, you know, 33% chance, not the worst thing. So
yeah, I agree, and I do. I feel like, again, like losing Liana was probably the best thing that could have happened for him in this round. And I think that, like, that whole discussion that happened at Tribal, I think probably helps explain, you know, why he was acting the way he was. And maybe they're less likely to be like, hey, Deshaun, you were really whiny the whole time, because they understand him a little bit more. And so I feel like maybe deceptively his chances are not quite as low as you might assume when it comes to a final jury vote. So even though there definitely were some things that were wrong here in this episode from Deshaun, I do feel higher about his overall chances to win based on the outcome of the episode. After Deshaun, I've got Danny. I mean, Deshaun being in the game is great still. They've still got to deal with Deshaun first. It puts Danny in a great position to slide into Final Tribal with a great social game, a pretty good resume. Like, even if they go after Danny and Deshaun at the final six, the chance of Deshaun winning immunity over Danny, pretty low overall. Not necessarily because, like, Danny is so much better than Deshaun, but because, like, the chance of Deshaun winning immunity in the first place, there were only 1 in 6, right? So anybody winning immunity other than Deshaun, great for Danny. It's almost definitely Deshaun that goes. They're all targeting Deshaun. And that means that Danny should be a lock for at least final five. That's assuming they even go after Deshaun and Danny. If they don't, if they go after Ricard, which a lot of them should, then he's looking at both him and Deshaun at the final five with them still probably targeting Deshaun first. I mean, maybe that changes at that point, but he's got some short-term safety, which is really nice. And he's got, I think, a great chance to win a final tribal situation. We know he can speak to the jury well. We saw how well he was able to to speak to the jury and to Jeff and to the whole situation at Tribal in this episode. So he also seems to be, again, very likable socially. People really like him. He's been in a power position throughout most of the game, so he has that on his resume. I feel like he's in a very, I don't feel like he's in like the dominant position. I don't think he's like the person to beat or anything like that, but I think he's a very strong contender to win this thing. So for that reason, I gave him a 7.
I'm like one step behind. I gave him a 6. And you gave Deshaun a 6 and I gave him a 5. Yeah. So Danny, I feel like is, in one hand, I feel like he's better off socially than, say, Deshaun in that duo. If they're going to be if they're going to remain targets going into the final 6 as they were here at the final 7, it could spell bad news if, say, Deshaun gets immunity. I know there's a preview of somebody finding an advantage or something. I don't know what that's going to mean. I doubt it's an idol, but we'll see. I feel like Danny more likely to win immunities, so that's good for him over Deshaun or a lot of them, depending on the advantage or depending on the challenge that comes up. Socially seems to be in a really good spot. I think he's one of the most likable people on the cast, let alone in the final 6. He's the only player thus far to never have a vote sent his way. And if that continues, whether it's because he can't get voted for, because he's immune, finds an idol, whatever, great for him. My only worry is that like people will wisen up and think if we can't get Ricard out, maybe Danny's the next best bet because he is likable, but we haven't seen enough of that. So I don't really feel like that's on the radar, on the horizon. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Danny. Like, I almost feel like he's such a huge threat that if he gets to the final 3, I'd say like right on the check. Like he's really likable. I don't know. Other than Ricard, I feel like he might be the second most likely person to win in a jury vote based off of his just social game, just how likable he is. And for me, that raises his win equity pretty high. The downside I do feel is like I don't see much of the strategy beyond working in this alliance. He never had to go to tribal council in the pre-merge. He's kind of just been around at times, just sort of hanging out, which works. I would like to see what his pitch would be to like put an exclamation mark on all of it at the end of the day. But ultimately I feel decent for his short term. I feel like most likely we're looking at somebody else getting voted out next episode. Could be wrong there. And, yeah, I feel okay with him. I give him a 6. Winning immunity, great. Playing in the do or die was a good call. Yeah. Just give him a 6. It was pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Well, next up, I have Erica. Which means, of course, that Ricard is in the top spot. But first, we'll talk about Erica. I was actually highest on Erica last week. I gave her an 8. I was very high on her position. And that's because I felt like she would be in the swing position here. I thought she would go the other way. I thought that she would turn against Ricard, and that's why I had Ricard lower last week. And that's why I felt like she was in such a strong position. She did not take that path. She went with a different path. And I don't think that's a terrible thing for her game. But I do think that, first of all, she wasn't a big part of a big blindside this week, so she's not getting that bonus. And second, I do feel like, you know, despite her strong position, And the fact that I do think she's pretty much locked in for a run at Final Tribal, you know, as long as she doesn't get like fire making challenged out or something like that. I do think she's still like one more good move away from like locking up the win. And I think we both agree like that move is she needs to take out Ricard. I don't think she can beat Ricard. And I think that if somebody else takes out Ricard, then she can't beat that person, probably, right? Because it's a pretty even field overall. So I think she needs to be able to take credit for taking Ricard out of the game. There are a couple of obstacles in the way of that. First is Ricard could win immunities. Second, how does she take credit for it properly, right? Like there are a couple just of things that could get in the way, and she might not even take the shot. We don't know that she will. I have her at a 7 as well. I feel like not taking the shot, I don't fault her too much for that. But she's not getting the bonus of having just made a big move. I do still feel like she's a strong contender to win, strategically, but I do feel like she's still that like one good step away from like being that person.
I would agree. I'm looking forward to seeing what she ends up doing. We've still got like 4 hours left of the season. So I hope that I'm really looking forward to her, honestly, almost more than anyone else, to see what she's capable of. She keeps getting talked about as being this like low key under the radar social threat, a strategic threat even. I think Liana described her as strategic. That was her one word for her in her Warden Holmes interview. I'm like, interesting. I gave her straight sevens across the board. I gave her a seven at the end of it. I really like Erica. I've been rooting for her. I do wonder if this ultimately not getting out Ricard tonight or last night was the right call. And I do worry that Ricard might end up being the player to beat that doesn't get beat. And it was because of potentially making the wrong move here. As she said it herself, like, is it 50-50? I don't know. Liana, definitely not as big of a threat. And, you know, probably somebody you could work with as you get into the end game. Whether she felt like her Liana working with Danny and Deshaun was too big of a opposition in the, at a six vote, I don't know. She can have Xander on his side. Xander's got the idol, but then Xander wants to work really like strongly with Ricard, at least for right now. And going against Xander's wishes could lose Xander. Maybe I don't know for sure. So maybe this wasn't the worst call to make. Maybe she's setting herself up at the six to make a move against Ricard with Xander, with maybe Danny and Deshaun. We'll see. Ultimately, I don't think she's in any trouble of going out in the next couple of votes. I think at least 6-5, maybe at the fire, final four fire making. I could see that for her potentially happening. She did say preseason that she's not the most readily equipped for the outdoors, and maybe that'll come into effect here. But I feel like she is, like you said, one strong move away from just clinching it up and sealing the deal and taking it home. I could see her in the final tribal, and you know, a part of me has had this crackpot theory that she's our winner and we just haven't seen it yet. And I think it's still there. It's even after 11 episodes, I still think there's a decent, if not good chance that she could win this season. So I'm here for it.
That would be quite the story there. Yeah. All right. So of course that leaves Ricard. And last week I was pretty conservative on his rating despite the big move he made. I thought it was a good move. I thought it really helped shake the board up. But I did not have confidence that he'd be able to maintain control and stick the landing. I mean, and he did. I mean, the fact that they did not immediately turn around and take him out here is an absolute testament to the composure, the control that he has in the game. Especially considering the fact that both Deshaun and Danny were immune. So it only made it even more of a tasty option here. Like, we can't even get out Danny and Deshaun. We're really going to take out Liana when Ricard is right there. Like, it made it even harder for them to stick with that. And they still did, which I think is just massive kudos to Ricard. In a secret scene, we see Ricard talking about how he feels good about Xander trading off immunity wins with him because it makes them both targets. This is the line of reasoning that Xander uses to keep Ricard in the game and be pretty steadfast about that. I have to imagine that Ricard had something to do with that, introducing that reasoning to Xander. He manages to pull Xander. He manages to keep Erica and Heather on board. Remember, Erica and Heather were from Luvu. They were originally on the Danny and Deshaun tribe, and they have flipped over for Ricard here for now. So absolutely killer spot here. Obviously, he is the person to beat right now. All it takes is an immunity win or two, and he could be sitting in the end in a spot where he can't be beat. However, And I almost went with a 9 for him this week because I was so impressed managing to stick that landing. But Pradeem, you've already mentioned there is still so much danger, and I still just feel like, how is he going to survive next week? Like, are they really going to let him go again? They did talk about taking the shot this round. I do feel like there's still so much imminent danger that I can't be too high on him right now. But I am very impressed by him, and I do feel like he is the player to beat right now. So I gave him an 8.
Yeah, I was debating between a 7 and an 8. I thought it was impressive that he survived this vote, given the two main targets were both immune. And the fact that he was able to, and that makes me think that if these players are as good as we think they are, that they're setting themselves up and his short-term safety is really not going to be good. I hope that's I hope we get to see some really fun gameplay at this final six between outmaneuvering him and then he tries to outmaneuver the people against him. Looks like in the preview we're getting something like that, so we'll see what happens. But either way, this episode, considering he just blindsided someone ally, you've seen it before with like Wardog taking out Kelly Wentworth, only to see Wardog walk out right after. The big player to beat gets taken out by the lieutenant. Lieutenant ends up getting taken out right after. It's a very common story. We've seen it a handful, but a bunch of times on Survivor. It didn't happen this time. And in fact, it looks like his win equity has dramatically increased to the point where he is now the number one contender. He's usurped all that power. And he's managed to at least keep it open in an episode where he shouldn't, all the signs are pointing to him going. It's just a testament to what he's capable of, doing, the mastermind edit that he's been getting in under the radar behind Shan. It's coming out into fruition. I worry that it still might be too soon, that maybe he should have waited for Shan loyalty, willing to give him the grace of not letting him get blindsided at the final eight. Take advantage of that. Keep Shan around as your shield. Xander is not good enough of a shield for you. And I don't think, if anything, he's probably going to be your undoing if he wins the immunity and you don't, or he doesn't use his idol for you, which I doubt he will. So that held him back for me, which is why I think I'm going to give him I was debating an eight. And I guess because I've given everyone a different number, I might just give him an eight. I've gone like 2 through 8. Yeah, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I guess we'll give him an 8 just for the heck of it.
There you go.
But I worry that I think he's, if I was a betting person, I would say he's the most likely player to go next week. So we'll see.
It's definitely possible. The audience can, they can think about what they would have done.
Ask yourself, what would you do?
With their rating. So that's what we have. There is the stock watch for the week. Thank you so much, Pretty. This has been a lot of fun.
This is great. You know, I talked to Rob 2.5 years ago and I've been watching you since BB19. And wow. I want to give you, by the way, I don't know if I've said this to you, I might have, but Rob was my person I look up to for Survivor coverage. You are my Rob for Big Brother. I'm going to suck kneecaps for just a second because I've never podcasted with you. Yeah. And it's been a lot of me listening to you and loving it. And you have inspired me on my Big Brother coverage when I first started in 2018. I don't know exactly when you started with the LFC and all that, but I was listening to you guys rag on BB19 and I was right there with it. And ever since I started with my Big Brother coverage in 2018 and onward, it's like you've been there the whole time watching, feeding me the information on the Big Brother clips. You're here with Survivor, which is fun. And I just wanted to let you know, you have dramatically helped my channel and my knowledge and a lot of other people too. So I just want to say thank you. This was an absolute joy for a year. It took me 8 years to be able to talk to Rob. It's taking me like half that to talk to you, but just I'm so... so happy to be able to sit down and have a podcast with you for the last 2 hours. So thank you.
Thank you so much, man. That means a lot. And I've noticed, when you started and your channel has grown so much and you've accomplished so much. So, it means a lot to have someone so talented, speak so highly of me. I appreciate it. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say.
I say to people, I say people often say I know so much about these shows, maybe too much, but considering I do this for a living now, I don't fault myself for it. But I'm if there's any one person who knows more than I do, I always defer to Taryn. I say maybe if I'm in the dark, if I don't know the answer, I'll say, what would Taryn think? What does Taryn say about it?
Ask yourself,
go to you.
What would you,
Taryn?
There you go. You splice it together. You know, that's sort of the inner monologue. And it's fun to be able to sit down and you give an attention to detail that, I aspire to for coverage. And I'm so thankful that you're around for it, especially for Big Brother. I know we're talking Survivor here. But even for that, you comb through the editing and I do too. Before I started my YouTube channel, I actually had a website dedicated to combing through the editing of Survivor. It was called SurvivorEdit.com. And I just looked at the editing to try to figure out what was the story and what did that mean? And I, so yeah, it's just, it's been nothing but a pleasure. And to be able to sit down and have you talk back to me for the first time is really, other than Among Us, you know, whatever.
Where I'm lying all the time.
I'm like, I've talked to Taryn, but I haven't really, because he kind of like just calls me out on my bullshit, you know? So I don't know if that's the same quality conversation that I'm looking for, but I guess I'll take what I can get. I don't know.
Well, this was a lot of fun, and I you know, it was really fun being able to talk to you about this stuff. You know, somebody I know that you you know, you are invested in the strategy as much as I am. So I thought this was a perfect fit for us here, and hopefully first
of many. Again.
Yeah,
I would love to. I'd love to.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Brim. Thank you to everyone who has joined us here tonight or is listening or watching after the fact. I appreciate all of you as well. I will, of course, be back next week for episode 12 of season 41. There's not much left. It was what, two episodes left, essentially?
Yeah,
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Only two left. It's wild. I will be here. We will be continuing to do these ratings. Pretium, where can people find you?
Best place to find me is on YouTube, Pretium, P-R-I-D-I-M, or on Twitter, which is under my real name, Billy Geis. So, but you just search for Pretium, you'll find me. But Twitter and YouTube, two best spots.
There you go. And you can, of course, find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Again, watching these episodes live with all of you, in the moment, talking it through, trying to figure it out, and reacting to it. It's been fun. Plenty of other stuff over there on Twitch. You can, of course, also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Thanks again so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.
Yeah, Taryn's back to give you deeds again. He's digging deep on Survivor to find you everything you need. So if your life is packed, let Taryn and his friends break down the episode beyond what the casual see. Taryn's update for Survivor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.